Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Very tough subject, John.
I know it's a rough one because yeah. We're here with both Lisa Stern, who is from Families and Children's Association, and Sarah Sampson, who is from the Safe Center. And we're talking about elder abuse, and we're talking of all the different kinds of abuse there are. And at the break, I just mentioned that Police Commissioner, Nassau County Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder was on several months back, but basically said through Corona, the COVID pandemic, the robberies, everything was down basically in Nassau County, except for abuse cases. That was on the rise. And across the board, sexual, financial, everything. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that, you know, and we even had Madeline Singus on, and she was talking about, you know, it's hard to get the word out that to be an abuser. I'm president of the Great Neck Senior Center, Social Center it's called now. And I used to tell people, you know, if something's happening, when you get together for lunch, you have an outlet to tell the ladies, and the lady might tell somebody else. And I know a situation where one of the ladies went home and told her son what was told, and the son made a call and blah, 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 blah. And the end result was the situation got straightened out. Today, there's no place, as we've been talking with Sarah and Lisa, for these people to go. You're stuck in the house. You're afraid to make a phone call, because if you have a real crazy husband, he's probably tracking your phone calls. I don't know what the answer is. It's heartbreaking that this exists. And it's so wonderful that there's organizations that also exist to help out. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to go to Lisa to start this second piece. Where is it that you find the most benefit coming out of for senior? You know what I'm trying to say? It's
yeah. I mean, for us, I like to call us a one-stop shop for seniors, because okay. We help with health insurance, we help with home energy assistance, we help with case management and in-home assistance. We have our Safe Observant Senior Program, which focuses on elder abuse. We have a linkage project that reaches out to seniors who have mental health or substance abuse issues. So we it doesn't matter where you enter FCA, you're going to get to the program that's best for you. Plus, during COVID, we did a lot of outreach. We addressed food insecurity. We had everybody making a lot of calls out to seniors that are on our rosters. There were a lot of opportunities. We did a lot of Zoom presentations on financial exploitation, you know, through the libraries and through the senior centers. So I feel like we were out in the community. We get a lot of referrals from the district attorney's office. And what we do, what our SOS program does, is we act as a liaison with the district attorney's office, and we provide support, counseling. We connect with resources. We help with financial stuff. We help with food insecurity. We even help the perpetrator sometimes, because if we can get them help, sometimes seniors don't want to prosecute. We try to convince them to help get their loved one help. So, you know, we connect them with the right program for that as well. We don't tell them what to do, because a lot of times they don't want to prosecute or they're afraid for their loved one. So we try to work with them to look at their options and really support them. But because we have so many programs, we have a bill payer program that helps seniors pay bills. And even during COVID, they were picking up people's bills from their houses in paper bags and doing it in the car and bringing it back to them. And a lot of times it's our bill payer program that picks up a financial issue with a client, like all of a sudden they can't pay their bills. So they'll reach out to our SOS program, and our amazing team, who's very compassionate and supportive, guides them through this whole process that can be really scary. You know, pre-COVID, we would go with them to a police report. We would, you know, go with them to court. A lot of times family members aren't allowed in court with the client, but our team can go in with them. It's a very scary thing to go to court. So we really try to provide that support. And because we are connected in so many ways with seniors, I mean, it's thousands of applications for HICAP or for HEAP that we do a year. So we can send out flyers on our other programs so people know where to get help. So you can get help at FCA. And if we don't do it, we're really connected to other resources in the community. And, you know, we connect you with those resources. We have this wonderful EMDT, which Sarah runs, and we get together once a month and present cases. And those are people who are from hospitals, from the police department, from adult protective services, which we work with a lot, you know, from the Safe Center, all different representatives on this EMDT. And that's how
What's EMDT?
So the EMDT is an enhanced multidisciplinary team. So kind of like, you know how they have like a child abuse MDT where it's a group of people gets together and assesses cases. This is for ages 60 and up. We take cases that have either the enhanced part is the financial part. So we know financial abuse is very common in elder abuse. So we look at financial abuse cases, neglect, abuse, sexual abuse, anything that may be happening, and we triage these cases. Anybody can make a referral, so it can come from someone from our team, another agency, or a self-referral. You know, it could be a senior reporting abuse that's happening. So we get together and we look at these cases, and it's a way for us to really triage them very quickly, get the services that are needed. So maybe FCA is doing something, APS is doing something else. We have, you know, a bank on our team, Teachers Federal Credit Union. They might look into some financial stuff. We have an agency upstate that looks at forensic accounting. So there's a lot of different resources to figure out what exactly is going on, how to best assist the senior, and make sure that we make it a priority that we're doing what they want, what they would like to see done, while keeping in mind what's best and what's, you know, safest, keeping their self-determination, making sure that everything is surrounded around that senior in the best care possible, so that we can get the cases pushed through and taken care of. And it's a really great team. We have like 20 to 25 people that come every month. We meet for 2 hours and we look at the most complex cases. I also do, outside of the EMDT, I'll take case consults. So if it's like a case that they're just like stuck and they can't find the right referral, I try to find one for them. I talk to people on the team, get the best services for that senior. And then, you know, we won't bring it to the EMDT, but they're still getting services. So it's been I started in February, and this team is just so amazing. We all learn so much from each other. It really is just incredible, the amount of services and the knowledge that is out there. Like we're talking about, the DA's office has just been so wonderful. They're like a really instrumental piece. APS, FCA, the hospitals, just all collaboratively working together, and for the whole family. And that's what something that struck me doing this work, because I do other, you know, work with younger generations. It's interesting to see that with seniors, we're really looking at not only care for the senior, but for the whole family unit, because it is typically an adult child or a spouse. So we're trying to get them services too. So it's the one situation where we're like really looking at not only the victim, but how can we help the perpetrator so that the victim can live out their life, hopefully in the end, with a healthy relationship with that loved one, because it is so difficult. Or how do we get that loved one removed from the home? And possibly they might just want them, they're just done. So they want their family member to get help, but they don't want them to live with them anymore. They don't want to necessarily be around them, but they do care about them and want them to get help. So it's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah. It takes a village. It does. It takes a village. It's a real joint effort. Also, we're very connected with the Office for Aging. They fund our ISAP program, which is case management and in-home assistance. We work with New York Connects also, so they get calls from the community on where to get help, and often we'll get referrals through that way too.
Otto, did you want to say something?
Yeah, to me, it seems like one of the hardest parts of this thing is to get abuse out from under the radar, if you will, like you used the word before, Sarah. How do you get, like, how many people are being abused that people have absolutely no idea of? You know, of all the abuse cases, I have no idea, but let's say 10% are identified. That means there's like 90% of these things that are going on where the people are, like I like to put it, you know, we, me, and a lot of other people, we're fat, dumb, and happy sitting in our recliner, and we have no idea that this type of thing is going on. How does it get out from under the radar so people like yourselves and organizations like you can help both sides? To me, that's a hard part.
Earlier this year, we hosted a conference, and it was for seniors and for professionals. And we did a whole panel on education, you know, educating people on elder abuse. And Sarah had organized one prior to that as well, a few months before. So we're really trying to get the word out that way. We used to do a lot, obviously, before COVID. We would go into the senior centers and we would go out on the road and, you know, do presentations to try to get people. We're also connected with discharge planners from the hospitals, because a lot of times you'll see the victim end up in the hospital. And if there are red flags, we can work, you know, get referrals that way as well.
The question that I have, which I don't remember, honestly, if it was Lisa or Sarah who touched on it. People want to go back to the abuser. They don't want to cut all ties. I'm not confused. I understand human nature is human nature, but is that what you see a lot of? It's not a matter of that I want away from this guy or woman completely. They actually want to be together. You're shaking your head, Lisa.
If it's your child, yeah. You know, you just always hope that they'll get better, you know, and you have a maternal instinct or a paternal instinct. So you don't want to see them fail. You don't, you know, it's just a matter of hopefully we can work with them to help them to help that person, you know, okay, rather than, you know, okay. And sometimes it's not jail time, but it's getting them into a substance abuse program, or it's connecting them, you know, with mental health treatment, or, you know, a lot of times they're off their medication. So if you get back on their medication, they're able to function better. You know, you want to engage the senior in trying to recognize that something has to change.
Right.
Which is sometimes hard when you're in a family pattern that's existed for years and years.
What about husband and wife? Do you find the same thing there?
Sure. Sure. That,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I would be looking like if you can get away, start your life over and find somebody who actually loves you.
Sometimes it's also a financial issue, you know, to separate your incomes and, you know, you can't afford to stay where you're living. Also, you're vulnerable when you're older and that person might be a caregiver.
Right. Okay. That's true, too. You're forgetting that part, how they have evolved in your life. I want to continue on this, but believe it or not, we've got another break coming up here. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.